are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Asking about DeSean Jackson, would you like to see the Browns pursue him? Is he a good fit for the Cleveland Browns in your mind? Let us know, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. We're going to go to the phone lines now as the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, will be with us at the bottom of this hour. Tim in Akron, welcome to CBD.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
You know what? For the last couple of days, I've been hearing the early morning radio show kind of beating on the Browns management about them not being at the Browns or Johnny Manziel's pro day. And I just think that that's kind of just, you know, just ridiculous, man, to be honest with you, because, you know, if the management is going to be conducting their own workout with Manziel, Carr, Bortles, I mean, I would think that they would have a better advantage, you know, having a workout with him privately than them all being there with all the rest of the teams. You know, I just, you know, I know it creates, you know, a talk for talk radio, but I don't see no benefit in it, you know, and I'm not even on the level where these guys are, but, you know, common sense tells me that, you know, what good is that going to do when the scouting teams and everything and everybody else have been, you know, looking at these players all year long? You can't make me believe that that one pro day is going to be the difference when they're going to have this individual in their own environment via, even though it's going to be where they right. live, but can't make me believe that that's going to make a difference.
It really isn't. Your point is well taken. Now, I'll add this. I do understand the criticism, the reaction to it, because it is so public and such an open forum to where you can see and tell, okay, who's there? You take attendance, Chip Kelly front and center, other people front and center from other teams, and then you start hearing, well, the head coach or GM of every team practically in the league, I think every team, or 30 out of 32, and the Browns were one of the two where you didn't see Ray Farmer, where you didn't see Mike Pettin. So I get that, because that is public, that is, it's a media assessment, and the easy criticism is, why aren't you taking advantage of every moment, every opportunity you have to see a guy, to take in what he's about? Clearly, there is a contrarian perspective here. That's the only way I can put it, I think, Nathan. And I say it just as an observation. I don't necessarily say it as a criticism. If you're asking me what I would do, I'd probably be there. If I'm in the capacity of Farmer or Pettin, I'm there, but that's me. And their choice not to be there, I take nothing away from that to mean they don't care about him. They're trying to do less in analysis. They're trying to save money. You know, none of that is true at all. And they've got a purpose, and their purpose basically is they don't put a lot of value in the pro day. And I think more importantly, they want the conjecture, the guessing, the, you know, people saying, well, I guess this means the Browns don't want the guy. I think they love that cloud to get as thick as possible.
Right, people are talking again about what the Browns aren't doing, but they don't know what the Browns are doing, and I think that's exactly the way that Ray Farmer and company wants it, and I think that that's fine. And listen, to me, was I impressed with what I saw from Johnny Manziel on his pro day? Absolutely, but if you go and you watch the tape of Johnny Manziel, you'll see plenty of things that impress you, and you'll also see plenty of things that scare the hell out of you with how his game will translate to the next level. I thought he looked good throwing the ball. He's a great deep ball thrower. We saw that deep ball accuracy on display there. That's what the tape shows as well. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of the things that you have to do quickly in reading defenses, playing from the pocket, that show up on tape that wouldn't show up in this pro day workout either. So to me, it doesn't change my evaluation of him one bit. I think they have become sensationalized media creations to just fill time and get buzz going, and they are overhyped and overall unimportant in the grand scheme of things, in my opinion. All right, let's go now to Coy on a cell phone talking about DeSean Jackson. Coy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Man, we absolutely, positively got to go after DeSean Jackson. And I'll tell you why. If we get Sammy Watkins there at number four, we will have an offense that will at least keep our defense off the field for so long. Our D was really not that bad last year. Our offense is what held us up because we kept the D on the field so long, they were worn out by the end of the game, and they couldn't hold leads. But if you get an offense, and I believe that we're going to have a decent defense still this year, we need to be able to keep the ball, control the game. We could take over this division this year.
I agree. I think that the division is ripe for taking over. So you want to bring in DeSean Jackson and draft Sammy Watkins?
Absolutely, because let me tell you, we can get any quarterback we want. When you got that kind of talent, they'll be running to come see you. Right now, they don't even want to come to Cleveland. But if you got enough talent here, because we've been lacking that for years, we get all these bums and expecting them to do something. Now you get somebody who is proven, and you bring some young talent that you can develop. Let me tell you, we can control this division for a long time, and you can get good quality players that want to come to Cleveland.
Thank you, Coy.
Right now,
this is what I think. First of all, is DeSean Jackson a very good player? Absolutely. 16.2 yards a catch, 10.6 yards a target, second best in the NFL last year, the best among all receivers with more than 50 targets. Is he a dynamic playmaker? Absolutely. But remember, the Philadelphia Eagles just walked away from him, despite the fact that everything I said about him is true. What does he bring to the table? Can take the top off of defense, create space for a running game, does a lot of things very, very well. But he's going to cost you a lot of money, and you're going to need to pay Josh Gordon a lot of money in a couple of years. And I don't think when you look at and break down the final economics of, do you want to have two guys that high priced at one position this quickly? When you look at what DeSean Jackson brings on the field, it's an A+. I agree with that. Off the field, though, there obviously are concerns. When you have a young guy like Josh Gordon who remains one strike away from being taken off the field for a long period of time, I don't think that's the kind of locker room influence you want around him. And whether that's fair or not, because I don't know completely, but clearly there was something that had to do with DeSean Jackson other than his play that caused Philadelphia to let him go. Great player, yes, but I would argue again, economically speaking, it doesn't make a lot of sense because this draft has so much wide receiver talent in it that you can get somebody, maybe not as good as DeSean Jackson, but hopefully somebody who can be your number two receiver for cheaper for a bunch of years. And don't forget, we just put a lot of money, relatively, at least for the first 2 years, the way the contract is structured, into Andrew Hawkins.
Without a doubt. I think DeSean Jackson is a special talent. I think he's a dynamic game-breaker player, no question about it. But there are reasons why he's not in Philadelphia beyond a $10 million or so payment that he was due, beyond the money. And you're right. To get him here, to get him anywhere in the open market now, is going to cost more than I think the Browns should even think about investing. And I don't think it's an investment that necessarily makes you better. Unlike Coy, I don't see receivers as being the drivers of what you're doing as a team. It starts still at the quarterback position, and receivers don't make quarterbacks better, in my view, and I don't think they ever have. And when I mean better to give you consistent success, that it adds up to something more than just a, quote, fantasy conversation about a receiver's numbers. I'm talking about winning. And there's no proof to me that has happened where the receiver position has driven things, not the QB spot. And I was trying to figure out your point, Coy, that receivers might attract more in the way of a quarterback here, but I think that's what I heard you say, but I don't see that being the case at all. You build that position, and then you surround that talent. And part of the reason why DeSean Jackson's no longer in Philly is because the Eagles see what everyone sees. This draft gives you the opportunity to probably get some dynamic talent at receiver at a much cheaper price than bringing that veteran guy in. I think the big investment in a receiver in the open market has already been made, as Nathan pointed out, in Andrew Hawkins, and I think that's it as far as that goes. But I do see this team adding a receiver in the draft, helping this offense to get better. I agree with your points, Coy, too, though, that the defense is going to be a strength and probably stronger given the way free agency has unfolded so far. The Browns threw their two biggest assets at Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner with the thought that they will both upgrade those positions, respective linebacker safety positions, and help make the defense bigger, better than it was. and certainly with more experience, certainly with more, they hope, dynamic talent. But the offense has to get better starting with that quarterback spot, and I want that question answered, and I'm more concerned with knowing where that position's going than I am with kind of building those receivers around the quarterback, because that's how it's done.
That's exactly how it's done. All right, we got time for one more quick thought on DeSean Jackson. Kareem in Rocky River, welcome to the show.
How are you guys today?
Good, how are you?
Yeah,
good,
I couldn't agree more with your points, guys. You know, DeSean Jackson's a great talent, but he's not gonna take us where we need to be. If you look at the NFL, I mean, and if you play fantasy football, you know this, but at any given week, any one of 100 different receivers could be the best receiver in the league. So there's no point in shelling out that kind of money, especially when Josh Gordon's already solidified himself as a top five receiver in the league. You know, if anything, maybe we need a little spot receiver to help us move the chains, but we don't need the four guys to be able to score 90-yard touchdowns on Hail Marys. If you get Sammy Watkins and Sean Jackson and Josh Gordon, that's not really a great way to run your offense or keep your defense off the field like a previous caller said.
Okay.
It's a good point, and I think
– point, yeah.
I think it's a good point. I think a lot of people, when you look at the raw talent, you are drawn in by the raw talent, by what he can do on the football field. And obviously, he's a game changer. You can just imagine the thought of DeSean Jackson out there with Josh Gordon, Andrew Hawkins, and Jordan Cameron. You say to yourself, my goodness, this is a very exciting offense. But there is something to go with it. And at Lakeside Girl hits this the nail on the head. Absolutely not. He could be dangerous in the locker room. He's dangerous in the locker room and he's dangerous on the field, but it's in the locker room where I think you have some concerns. One of the things that clearly Ray Farmer has been and Coach Pettin have been united and steadfast in is bringing in people that they think are of high character that can change the culture in a positive way for this young, impressionable Cleveland Browns football team with Whitner, with Dansby, with Paul McQuiston coming in, Ben Tate, Andrew Hawkins, all of these guys, playoff guys, have been pretty clean in terms of their off-the-field antics, whatever.
Sure.
Guys that are here to hopefully help change the culture and lead this team. And I think DeSean Jackson, you know he was not cut because of talent. He was cut for those other things that we don't necessarily know as much about, which is a big red flag to
me. That compromised their thinking on the business side of it, the investment, because that's what you're looking at, right? We're going to make an investment in this guy to keep him here, a big one. So what are we getting in return? And is there a risk that that guy won't be available because of other issues? He didn't fit with what Chip Kelly wanted to do. He wasn't a fit in Chip Kelly's program. And I think Chip is pretty definitive on wanting guys who are more in line with what he's doing. And he's got a little bit of a very much of a stricter sense of how players have to respond to his way of doing things. I think here with the Browns, and I'm not saying this as a reason that the Browns would go after DeSean Jackson, I don't think Mike Pettin or Ray Farmer have problems with guys being a little salty. In fact, salty is preferred, but salty with the idea that you're part of a program, that you understand what you're a part of, that this is about a winning, you're invested into winning, and it's not all about you. But they don't mind you being about you if it contributes to the success on the field.
Absolutely. Coming up next, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, joins us live on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.